now turn to read God's word, and their reading is from the Old Testament in the familiar words of Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to read in Isaiah chapter 40. Let us read and hear God's word. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare or her time of service has been accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span? Comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? Weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, have been his counselor, and hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles in a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Of what likeness will ye compare unto him? The worker melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest to Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my gods? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Amen. And may God add his blessing and give us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. And we continue our worship, this time turning to and taking Psalm 16 from verse 8, the last four stanzas of that psalm in our worship of God. Before me still the Lord I set, sith it is so that he doth ever stand at my right hand, I shall not move thee. Because of this my heart is glad, and joy shall be expressed, even by my glory, and my flesh in confidence shall rest. Because my soul in grave to dwell shall not be left by thee, nor wilt thou give thine Holy One corruption to see. Thou wilt me show the path of life, of joys that is full store before thy face. At thy right hand are pleasures evermore. Psalm 16 from 8 to the end. Before me still the Lord I set. Would you turn with me to the prophecy of Isaiah, where we read a moment ago, but this time to chapter 46. The prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 46. And these opening phrases describe the incapacity and the weakness of the gods of other nations. They're bowed down, they're carried on carts when they should be carrying the people. So let's read. Bel boweth down and Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar heads will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you. To whom will ye liken me, and make my equal, and compare me, that we may be like? And particularly these words in verse 4. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I've made, I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you. I want to take one word just to begin with, to introduce our meditation this morning, but to be the basis of what we're going to say throughout it. Change. There are so many lessons that the Bible gives us about the theme of change and changing. We're told, and we've been reminded of it from time to time, of the necessary change that's going to come with all of us. The greatest change of all. The familiar words of John chapter 3. You must be born again. Or the words that we just looked at recently in Matthew 18. Except ye be converted, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There is that vital change that is necessary for us all. To give us peace in life. To keep us calm at the face and prospect of death. To give us hope for eternity. A vital change that the Bible brings home to us time after time. We can put off the commitment. We can put off the lifestyle. That's what's required of us. There's that vital change. And we've got to put on the new allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ with a delight and a longing in him, for him. So yes, there's a change that is necessary. But then there's a change that is progressive. There's a change that comes on all of us slowly, day by day, with the passing of the years. It creeps up upon us. Our strength goes. Our ability to do things is lessened and weakened. Our capacities are restricted. We know that change with ourselves. We know the changes in our environment round about as the buildings go and other buildings come in their place. We know the changes that come into our society where the standards are often lost and dropping, even as we were just talking there about the way in which people try to redefine marriage. The standards are slipping. That's the kind of change that comes slowly, creeps up upon us. And as the Bible identifies that, we are told how to meet it and to deal with it. We are told to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom, to use well the time that is left to us. And that appeal is all the more serious. And that appeal is urgent and powerful as we, every one of us, are aware of just how few and fewer our days are becoming. But then, there's another kind of application of this theme. Last Sunday, we were hearing about a man calling out with a message, "I'll tell you what God has done for me." He had a story to tell that was worth listening to. And the story was this: God answers prayer. Here again, in this chapter, we have the same demand in verse 3. "Listen to me. Listen to me," he's saying. There's something that the Bible demands we listen to and give our attention to. In the midst of all of the activities of life, the pressures, the doubts, the concerns that we have, in the midst of all of the complex life that you and I live, here in the church, God is speaking to us and he's telling us something important. "I have a message for you," he says. A message we need to hear. "Change and decay in all around I see. But in our moment of need, when it's vital to have something to lean on, something that changes not, what then do we have? When everything is collapsing, it's important to have something we can hold on to that's dependable." And that's what this verse 4 tells us. "Even in your old age, I am he. I will carry you. I have made you. I will bear you. I will deliver you." What have we got here? Yes, change. We've seen two applications. Now we come to the third. And it's simply this. Sometimes there are things that just don't change. There are some things which don't change. That's the theme that I want us to think of this morning out of God's word and his message for us. Together, let us listen as the Lord brings that simple truth before us in many different pictures and illustrations. Some things just don't change. So we start by going back to the words that we read there in Isaiah chapter 40. And it says there in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Some things just don't change. And the first thing we've got to take to ourselves is the content of God's word. It doesn't change. That's the contrast that is set out for us here. Things change round about us, and it's illustrated like the grass that grows in the summertime. It flowers, but it quickly decays and passes away and is no longer with us. In contrast to that, we have God's word, and it doesn't have to be adjusted. It doesn't have to be altered. Things come and things go round about us into our lives. But that adjustment and change does not apply to God's word. It remains the same. And when God speaks and when God tells us something, yes, it's the truth. But it also stands and is reliable and dependable. We know, even today, modern technology and modern exploration and discovery, you've constantly people dismantling what they believed from a past generation, and you've got to set up a new system of understanding science or the world or our environment round about us. There's adjustment takes place constantly in science and in so many other disciplines in life today. Constant adjustment. Sometimes it's because of the passing of time. Other times it's because of new developments and discoveries that are made. But that does not apply to God's word. What God has said, this is what God will do. And it will happen. And it'll stand the test of time. It'll stand the experience of death. And it's the foundation on which we kind of hope for eternity. Some things just don't change. The content of God's word. What does God speak about then in his word? God speaks of a comforting and of very many encouraging things for us. God speaks about forgiveness and of pardon. God speaks about the way in which we can be brought into peace with him through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are great promises given as we believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Meeting the deepest needs that we feel in our conscience. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. That's a promise given in God's word. And it does not change, and it need not change. And it's a promise that God's people can take to themselves with confidence and with boldness, that it will stand the test of life, death, and eternity. But God speaks about so many other rich things. He speaks about the way in which we can come to God in prayer. The way in which he will look over us and give us provision and protection in our needs as we trust him. There are so many rich dimensions and depths to the gospel message that you and I know and we hear week after week. A glorious gospel message for sinners like you and I. That's the content of God's word. And it doesn't change, and it need not change. Because it speaks to our needs day after day. Breaking in with hope. Breaking in with a message that is vital for us to take to ourselves. And to rely upon. Some things just don't change. And they're so astonishing and they're so amazing. We can hardly believe the riches of the salvation that God has achieved and has applied to us. But he has given that blessing to every one of his people. Before we come to trust in Jesus Christ, even now perhaps we try to work things out our own way. We try to avoid judgment and confrontation with God. We instead try to create our own comfort and our own defenses. But when we come to that one vital time of meeting God, everything we try simply collapses under the weight of our soul. But the moment we come to lean upon God's word, things are so different then. The content of one of God's word stands the test. It's robust, it's reliable, and we can put our hope, all the hope of our soul, for all eternity upon it, and it will not let us down. We can lean upon the promises that God has given. The content of God's word. Some things don't change. And that's a great comfort. A great comfort for the believer and the Christian today. But there's another side to that. God's word is like a two-edged sword, we're told. And there's another solemn side that we've got to hear as well. Because the Lord speaks clearly and plainly to us about the consequences of sin for the unbeliever. That also will stand. And that also will not be adjusted. We alone have to stand and appear before Almighty God when our life is examined and our life is assessed. And there where the assessment takes place, a conclusion is arrived at. And those without Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who are strangers to Him, will be condemned and expelled. And they will hear these fearful words spoken, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's the solemn side of God's word, and it does not change. Oh yes, we will try anything and everything to play down the seriousness of what God is saying. We can whisper to our own soul, to our heart's content, we will whisper, things aren't going to be as bad as that, will they? We try anything to defuse the solemnity of what God is saying. But let's be in no doubt, some things just don't change. Both of these truths that God gives us in His Word are certain. They are reliable. They will stand and be there with the passing of the years and of time itself. The first thing, some things don't change the content of God's Word. So take Him at His Word. There's nothing better than that that we can do. Trust Him and rely upon Him. Build your hope upon the foundation of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Rest your confidence upon Him as we think of meeting God. Because that's the only rock on which we can stand with any degree of hope and of survival out of that confrontation. Change. Some things just don't change. The content of God's word. But the second thing I want us to take where we can apply that truth is not only to the content of God's word, but to the character of God Himself. If you go to the Epistle of James, James chapter 1, it says something very significant for us. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What are we being told here? Simply this: God's character does not change. You think, if you go back, let me talk about Christian experience. You hear all of the glorious things that we've just touched on and highlighted. All of the rich blessings that are there in prospect as you stand and look down the Christian life. The good news of salvation when you start out in that Christian life. But as you live it, as you go through life, these things that were talked about become your experience. They become yours, and you know them for yourself, and they're precious. They come upon you time after time after time, different each morning. They lift and they fill your soul. You're aware of God's grace in a way that you don't deserve it. Your life is so inconsistent, and yet God blesses you. Special times even, when you've known God to be close, conscious of His loving kindness, conscious of His great mercy and provision for you, and they've just overwhelmed you. David felt exactly like that in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God spoke to him and told him that God had great plans for his family and for his line that was to come after him. That God was going to bring from his line the Messiah, and God was going to bless his line and his family, and there was going to be great prosperity coming upon them. And the scale of all of these blessings just overwhelmed David. He was utterly lost. He sat down, we're told. Such was his awe at what he was told. And when we receive blessings like that from God, sometimes we ask the question, will it continue? Will God always be like that in dealing with his children? There is there given to us in James 1:17 the consistency of God's character as he blesses each and every one of his believing children. Some things just don't change. There isn't even the suspicion. There isn't even the slightest doubt, the shadow or the suggestion of change in God's dealings with his people. Change comes with everything God has created. But with God himself there is no change. And what that means is this, that what you discover God to be, the experiences of blessing that you've had from his hand, they won't change with time. They won't change with the behavior that you might have. Oh yes. Yes, you might wander from the way. Yes, you might stray from the path of God. But God says, I will not be untrue to my covenant I've made. I will not be untrue in my character and my commitment to these people. And God will make it his purpose to draw us back to himself, still loving and still caring for his people, but demonstrating it in a very different way to correct and to restore his people. The character of our God, the loving kindness that he shows to his people and the blessings he bestows upon them, some things just don't change. There are times, yes, when the Lord might test us. How do we react under pressure and how do we cope with troubles? They can be difficult and they can be hard when they come upon us. And sometimes there's a whisper in our soul that gets louder. The whisper is this. When we're going through testing difficult times, the whisper is this the way God deals with his children? Is this the way God deals with the Christian? And we've got to answer that right away with the words that James gives us. No. There isn't even the shadow of turning with God's character in his dealings with his own. The shadow that is cast moves with the sun every day. It's not in the same place through the day, and it's not in the same place through the year. You can't rely on it being there always. But with God you can. God will not let you down as people won't let you down. There is no change with him. As you've experienced good things through the years from his hand, so you're creating a consistent and a beautiful picture. You're putting a building in shape and you're creating it, and there is not a single block that is out of place in that building you're creating. Some things just don't change. The content of God's word, the character of God himself. But something else, we're told. Coming back now to that passage of Isaiah 46. Coming back to verse 4. The commitment of God does not change either. Even in your old age, I am he. What have I done for you? There are some things that are worth repeating because they're so good. There are some things worth repeating because sometimes we let them slip. And that's what he's saying to us here. Listen to me. Listen to me. There are some things don't change. The commitment that God makes and gives to his people down through the years. We might feel that we're alone. In our reading there in Isaiah 40, that's exactly what the people thought at verse 27. They say it to us. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest to Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? They thought that God had forgotten them and passed them over. But then God tells them, God is not limited in his resources. God is not exhausted by the application of his resources to his people. And anyway, we cannot understand what God is doing in us. Who can measure his understanding? All of these, he says, but then Isaiah tells us one thing you can be sure about. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You can be sure about that commitment of God to his people. There in Isaiah 40, it's one particular situation. But here in 46, he's talking about the whole scope of your life. Somebody who's coming to old age. And even now in your old age, I am he. Paul tells us about the compensation, about the outward man perishing, but the inward man being renewed day by day. There is a great compensation when we come into old age. And that's what we're given here. The Lord has looked over you through all the years that you've traveled. And he will not abandon you. The focus of this verse 4 is upon God himself. He does not change. And it's brought out, it doesn't appear in the way we have it in the English, but in the original language, it's emphasized like this. Even in your old age, I am he. And even in your hoar hairs, I myself will carry you. I myself have made you. I myself will bear you. I myself will deliver you. The emphasis comes time after time upon time upon God himself and what he will do for his people. The commitment that is given in this verse for God to look over and to keep his people. What a tremendous thing it is to grow old in the Christian faith. Oh yes, in old age our body becomes infirm, but the hand of the Lord upholds us. The mind becomes weaker, the memory is less retentive, and our imagination is less vivid. But we can recall sweet texts of Scripture, and they are all the sweeter because of that limitation that comes upon us. We've got more time to read and more time to pray and more time to share. And that means with time on our hands we can look back to the times of joy that we've had along life's journey. Joy that has been centered upon the closeness of Jesus Christ to our soul. We can think of times when we were underneath a shadow and the Lord carried us through. Times when we've lost loved ones, but the Lord remained close by us. Times when we had to battle and fight against sin, but we knew the strength of the Lord to sustain us. And perhaps when times of failure, we knew the grace of the Lord to forgive us. Yes, we can look back through the journey we've had through the path of life. And we can see that something hasn't changed. The commitment the Lord makes and the commitment the Lord gives to his people. And this testimony that is given to us here, this testimony is all the more powerful because it comes out of a Christian's experience. Here you have one person speaking. Somebody who has been through all of these experiences of life that we've just touched on. The joyful ones, the sad ones, the bad ones. And time after time come through them. And time after time speaks with the same testimony of the commitment of the Lord. Some things just don't change. The Lord God himself keeps his people safe. Yes, we have the content of God's word. Yes, we've got the character of our God, the commitment of the Lord. One last thought before we close. It's again found in verse 10 this time of chapter 46. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. This is God saying this. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I will do all my purpose. Our life, especially taking it just to the Christian's life, our life cannot be described as a gathering together of random individual experiences. Coincidences that just simply fall into our life as we live them. Our lives are not a haphazard collection of experiences. It's not whim. It's not blind fate. It's not the stars in the sky that guide and dictate the life that we live. As we look back, we can trace out the hand of God at work in our life and in our history. And God has been unfolding a coherent plan for every one of his people. It's not arbitrary. It is the unfolding and the outflowing of his good pleasure, his intentions and his purposes. As the creator of his people, as the redeemer of his own. He has this purpose he will fulfill for his own. And nothing, but nothing will thwart him. I will work, and who will let it? Who is going to stand in the way to frustrate the ways of God and the purposes he's got from all eternity for the good and the blessing of his people? Nobody, but nobody can do that. What a tremendous comfort there is in this gospel message. The counsels, the plans and the purposes of God from all eternity. Some things just don't change. God has given intimation and God has given promise that he's going to do good and to bring blessing upon his people. God has said that he's going to overflow their life with great things. Listen to what he says. Again in Isaiah 43 this time. Even I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed, where there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yes, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? God has said, let me just use one illustration once more. If you go to Isaiah chapter 44 this time, and the very last few verses of that chapter, Isaiah 44, God is there talking about a king called Cyrus. And he says, that Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundations shall be laid. Here is Cyrus, and who was he? He was a king, a heathen king, who was looking over God's people who were in exile. He wasn't even born by the time these words were spoken and said. But here is God telling us what his plans and his counsel is. That he's going to use Cyrus to bring them back from captivity. Go back to the book of Ezra chapter 1 and you'll see exactly how it happened. God put this idea into the mind of Cyrus. God guided his thinking and his understanding. Here is God fulfilling his counsels of so long ago that he shared and spoke with them through Isaiah. He's going to rebuild his temple. He's going to lay the foundation. He's going to build up all of his people once again. Plans in heaven fulfilled on the earth. The counsels of the Lord will stand through. Now, that's for one king and one nation so long ago, but that also applies to every one of God's people. The plans and the purposes that he has for you and me will not be frustrated and they will not be thwarted. What God's plans are, he will realize and he will fulfill. There will be an abundant blessing for everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ, his Son. Oh yes. The second Psalm speaks about those who are opponents and they take God on and they think they're going to succeed. And Psalm 2 tells us, he that in heaven sits shall laugh. Why? Because that posturing of people will be utterly frustrated. They will never realize what they are intending to do. But God, on the other hand, God's plans and God's purposes will be fulfilled. Some things just don't change. The content of his word, the character of our God, the commitment he makes, and the counsels that he has. So let's try to close with a simple word of application. Wisdom, surely wisdom would tell us to go with what is permanent, to lean on what is reliable, to hope in what is secure. Surely wisdom would tell us to do these things. There's so much change going on round about us. Each day and as each day moves on. But here we're given a picture of four things. Four things of which we can say this. Some things just don't change. And so they add strength to the invitation, the command that God gives us to trust and to believe in Jesus Christ. He will not be false to what he has promised. He will not be inconsistent in his dealings with your life. He will not come short in the promised blessings that he has spoken about. The things that God has held out for you and me and sets out in this gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. These things, some things just don't change. What Jesus Christ has said he will do, what he said he will be, what he has said that he will give and bring and hold before us, these things, some things just don't change. This is what God will do. He will bless abundantly those who believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we bless thee for thy word and for its richest application to us. We bless thee, Lord, for the way in which thou dost speak with us in the terms and words that we can understand using illustrations to bring home the truth to us. So, Lord, may we hear and listen. And as we listen, may we trust. And in trusting, may we receive good things from thine hand. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 71. Psalm 71 and at verse 16. And I will constantly go on in strength of God the Lord, and thine own righteousness, even thine alone, I will record. For even from my youth, O God, by thee I have been taught, and hitherto I have declared the wonders thou hast wrought. And now, Lord, leave me not when I old and grey-headed grow, till to this age thy strength and power to all to come I show. And thy most perfect righteousness, O Lord, is very high, who hast so great things done. O God, who is like unto thee? Psalm 71, 16 through 19, four stanzas, and I will constantly go on. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon